All right, guys, we're going to try to get started here. I really want to just encourage a lot. I'm encouraged by all of you. I don't know if you're encouraged, but I'm encouraged by all of you. It's a Saturday. I mean, I know we had like a typhoon the past couple of days, but it's like beautiful now. And the fact that we're here, because most of us, probably your most precious commodity is your time. Because every good thing that we sacrifice for, it's taking away from something else we could be doing. So we don't hold that lightly. I hope that there hasn't been a minute of this conference that has felt like filler or a waste. But I'm just encouraged by all of you. It gives me a lot of hope to see like 400 plus men throughout the region coming together, want to see Jesus. Maybe some of you didn't know you were coming to men's conference. Like someone lied to you and said, we're going to Cracker Barrel. The next thing you know, you're singing, hey, what's going on? But whatever got you here, just thankful for that. So my name is Dan Hyun. I get to serve our convention as a director of formation and health. Basically, that's a complicated way of saying I want to help people experience Jesus more, especially with our pastors, but really all of our convention. So I wanted to look at that a little bit today. So even with the title, I also acknowledge some of the set breakouts in this conference are really clear what they're about. The fact that you're here, like, it's a little ambiguous. You're like, what does that even mean? So the fact part of that is they want titles for me a long time before, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to ChatGPT something or whatever comes out. No. It is tied to kind of these practices of heart, but really around the idea of formation. And since we are Christians, it'd be good to have a Bible verse. But looking at Romans chapter 8, and again, I think very familiar passage for a lot of you, but Romans 8, and start with probably the one we know the best, verse 28. Romans 8, 28 starts, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And since none of us want a two-hour breakout, we're not going to do a deep dive exposition into this. But we could, because it's pretty epic. But basically, it's a vision of sanctification. It's a wonderful promise from God that part of the Christian journey, again, I don't want to hate mail, so hear everything I say here. It's not just about getting to heaven. Don't stop right there and get mad at me, say, this heretic, who let him be their God? Absolutely, we believe in glory. We believe that the sacrifice that's been made for us, it was such a great sacrifice, it actually purchased eternal glory and rest. Amen?
Amen.
But, and I think we're in a different age where this is not so controversial now, but it's also the promise of God that while we're here, he's transforming us. He's transforming us in every moment, and we see the pathway here, right, all the way to glory. Like, none of it's just meant to kind of struggle through it. It definitely involves struggle, but it's all part of God forming us in his image. And simply, I hope this is not like brand new, but I want you to be encouraged with this idea that God offers us the beautiful hope of experiencing transformation through the ongoing work of his Spirit. And why I say that, not assuming where everyone is, if we can be real, sometimes we're just like, I just want to make it to the end. And I'm not going to like slack. I'm going to show up in church. But transformation, that's for the holy moly folk. That's the word I use for like the Bible. Like, holy molies, right? And I used to use that as kind of a making fun of people word when I wasn't walking with Jesus. But that holy moly, like transformation, absolutely. Spiritual formation, cool. But that's for like a different class of Christians. Like the ones who've maybe gone to Bible school, or the ones who, like, during the songs, like, they look really serious, and bodies are even moving, hands are, like, those folks, but for regular Joes like me, I'm just trying to, like, struggle through. Seeing in the scriptures that this is actually God's promise to us, that all of us, if you've been born anew in Christ, the expectation is transformation. The expectation is that our lives will be formed in him. So in some sense, I think this transformation, it should just be normal to someone who's genuinely a Christian. And maybe the way we would describe it, some of it happens unintentionally. I'm hoping, and you all BCMD, so I'm hoping, even if you do nothing else and you just show up to church, what do they say now? A regular churchgoer is someone who goes like twice a month. Let's set the bar a little higher. You come like three quarters of the time to worship because you're serious about Jesus, right? Just by being there, I think hopefully something's happening, like almost unintentional, just by showing up. And there's something value that. We're not going to poo-poo that. There's something good just in being committing to be present somewhere, believing that even being in the community of God, you're going to experience some kind of transformation. Again, and that's good. But my goal is also for us to think about intentional transformation. Intentional, and whatever word you want to use, rhythms, practices, habits. I personally like the word disciplines because I used to have a really like bad relationship with the word disciplines. Right, all of life. It sounded like punishment to me. Where I've come to see, like, the reason saints throughout history have used spiritual discipline is because it's a good thing. Like, disciplines help us to be able to know God more. You see the blanks there. I'm not much with, like, media stuff, so, like, very few things to fill in. Hopefully some of you like that. But that whole idea, and this is not unique to me, but the idea that discipline is greater than motivation. Discipline is greater than motivation. And I can tell by some of you, like, I can tell you apply this physically in your workout. We all know that, and this has been, for some of you, this is nothing new at all. This was like cheat code for me. This is revolutionary in every aspect of my life. Because you can probably tell when you hear me speak, I'm like a mountaintop guy. I love being on a mountaintop. I wish I could just live up on a mountaintop. I don't like camping, but if I could live on the top of a mountain and experience God's kind of glory like all the time, like be like Thor in that one Avengers movie where the star just goes through you, like I'm like, that would be kind of cool. Experience God's power. So my whole life has been fueled by motivation. Like if I can just get motivated enough, if I could just want God more than enough, and I don't want to diminish that. That's a part of some of the greatest things that happen in life. And for me, like mountaintop experiences, like God's called me in those sense. Sometimes he's made certain things very clear. But what I've also seen, like sometimes our strengths are our weaknesses. My motivation ultimately wanes over time. Like motivation's good, and I think motivation gets us moving. But if we're looking to motivation to keep us going in our whole journey, the effects of motivation tend to wane over time. But what keeps us going? You need motivation. But what keeps us going and what motivates us is discipline. Habits, rhythms, practices. So what are those disciplines? Things that will allow us to experience that Shekinah glory of God. To be in the presence of God. And I think about a story that some of you have probably heard. My kids are, you tell the story a lot, don't you? And I do. So some of you have probably heard it. But when my girls were really little, they made, and when you're a young parent, like these silly little things are like big, like you celebrate. You almost go out for dinner to celebrate. But it was the move from doing bath time to showers, you know, when they're like real little. And I remember it's pretty exciting because that's like, it's like a milestone. It's like, oh, they're developing. That's great. They can bathe themselves. I remember our daughter was showering, little kid, right? Tiny. And I'm like, cool. And next thing I hear screaming, Daddy! Daddy! The water stopped! I'm like, oh, no. Like, I can't afford new plumbing. I'm running upstairs. This is not good. And I looked in. It was the cutest thing. Like, our little tiny girl's in there, like, face covered with shampoo and soap, like, and like, and basically was like 4 feet away from the shower head because she couldn't see anything. And she just kind of, in the midst of it, started to move away. And to her, the water stopped. It's like, Daddy, the water stopped! So just get, move her back underneath to the water. She's like, okay, it's working. And it's silly, but it's given me like a visual illustration of kind of the way we view our disciplines, habits, practices, rhythms, whatever you want to say. We're not trying to activate God. And that's where some people get a little nervous about spiritual formation because they think, are you trying to manipulate God into doing something? Like trying to press, like, are you being like some mystical, kind of weird, like incantation to get up? No, we believe God is always at work.
Amen.
It's not a little shower. It's like Niagara Falls, like constantly. Our problem is we tend to drift. And sometimes we even experience like you experience the fullness of it, it would knock you out. But we get to experience some of the real, but what happens is just through life, especially if motivation is the only thing keep us going, most likely we wane a little bit, we drift to where like that little kid, the water stopped when the water's still there. And if you think about disciplines, and disciplines are those things that move us back underneath the shower.
Yeah.
We're not trying to activate shower. It's already on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But those things that bring us to experience what God already wants to give to us. And for a lot of us, if we can be real, real, we think that some people got cheat code. Or they're more wired to know God. And I think there's something to say for like disciplines of our heart. But my experience has been, it's not that some of us have a better way of doing it. Maybe we haven't fully understood how we're wired to understand the presence of God. So that's my hope with these things. So I want to talk specifically about what are some of these rhythms of formation look like in that uniqueness of who you are. So even here, what, probably 50 to 70 men, we're all wired differently. And I think, so here's why this is also important to me specifically for men. And this is no one's fault. It's just the way it is. We tend to people market like, here are the ways for spiritual formation, but it's very specific to a certain kind of person. For me, at least, it seems like every book I used to read on spiritual formation is like, you got to go to like a Benedictine monk for like 6 months and kind of retreat from the rest, go out in the woods somewhere. And again, I got a complicated relation with the woods. Like, you gotta like, and it's all like, okay, this is not unhelpful, but man, it feels like it's speaking to a certain type of person and not always me necessarily. And I think, kind of on the larger, and I alluded to in the main message, I think even when it comes to men's ministry, if we can be real, real here, some of you, even when your church has said, we're going to start a men's ministry, there's a part of you like, yeah, I'm not down with that. Because you might have experienced where everyone's told you, what men do is we barbecue a lot of meat. We go hunting together. And no, there's nothing bad about this. Some of you are like, yeah! What's all this Bible study stuff? It's showing we're all wired differently. Like some men would actually prefer to sit around and like talk about stuff. For some men, that's like, why would I punish myself? I'm trying to get away from that at home. Like, it's we're all wired differently, but instead of viewing it as let's try to get guys in line so that they're like, rather, what would it look like to help men experience the uniqueness? Because God doesn't make mistakes, amen? He's made you the way you are, and some of you, you've spent your life wondering, and maybe unhelpful guilt, or maybe even shame, why aren't I more like that guy? It's usually people writing the books. Let's be real. Because people who write the books, they have sometimes the power to dictate culture. What would it look like for you to learn who you are and say, the one guarantee I know is God wants to be known. He's not like holding me back saying, well, until you figure out the cheat code, I'm not here. He wants to be known, but maybe the task for us as part of our disciplines is figure out how you're wired. Does that make sense? So, yeah. And I think my hope for you as men, let's be real, there's a difference in women's ministry and men's ministry. Women's ministry, you can just say you're having tea and conversation and like the whole church will show up women. Men, it's just hard. It's hard. And some of the men I know, this is not even men's ministry. We can be real. A lot of men I know feel ostracized from the church. Because like the way we do church is not speaking to me as a man. I'm not saying we need to be like grunting through worship or something. But like I think we've got some work. And this is not just for his. I'm assuming you were at a men's conference on a Saturday, beautiful Saturday, you like serious about Jesus. But even as we're thinking about mission and outreach to other men, most of the men in our communities who don't know Jesus, if you explain to them what men do in church, they'd be like, nah, I'm good. I'll be watching the game over here with my wings. Not that we need to cater everything to try to meet where people are at, but I think it's being part of faithfully a mission to understand where men and women are different. Does that make sense? So that's some of my hope here. So I want to talk through the language, and this is something newer that I've been working on, because this is not new work. A lot of people have done great work in this thing, but I've been thinking about formation in kind of the idea of portals. And again, my standing in your eyes might drop by saying things like this, but I love like sci-fi, fantasy. I'm kind of a nerd or geek. I don't know which one's a better term, but I kind of like those different stories, whether it's fantasy genre or like science fiction, outer space. But one common thing I've noticed in a lot of these fantasy stories, like it's you can travel to different places by finding a portal. Like if you can find, and sometimes it's man-made, sometimes it's like natural, but you find this thing and it's like it takes you into a different land or it takes you into a different place. And there's something that clicked in with me about, because I think part of us as humans, we're created for our imagination. The worst thing I hate is when, not just men, like anyone's coming to church and they're just bored out of their mind. They're like, I already know all this, but even if I didn't know it, it's like boring as heck. And again, church isn't meant to be entertaining, but what I do think, we're meant to be stirred in our passions, our imagination. And I like the idea of portals, because it's like you get to step into, like think Narnia, right? You get to step into this new world of experience that you didn't even know was there until you step through it. You're like, wow! How come no one ever showed me this before? This is amazing! But that's what we should be experiencing with God. As we step into different places, knowing how you're wired, wow, I can't, why didn't anyone tell me this? That this God is this amazing? This is incredible! So I want to think about portals, almost again, think of your imagination stepping into these different realms. And what do these portals look like? And as I'm sharing some of this, what's resonating with you? There's no right or wrong answers here, but what resonates with you? So I want to look at some different portals. What stirs your imagination? One, I want to think about the cerebral portal. Cerebral, C-E-R-B-R-A-L. That's just a fancy way to say thinking, right? Like intellectual. Like the cerebral portal. And I think the understanding of this is like the pathway for you, the portal is you draw close to God the more you're able to learn about Him. Like learning is a big thing for you. When people say, oh man, another Bible study, you're like, dude, I wish all we could do is Bible study. Like, I wish we could actually read thicker and heavier books and not just use them as like doorstops. I love reading. I love studying. Let's be real, real. Like, even when we're in conference and you know all the touchy-feely stuff that's going on, I mean, you're there because you're mature. You're kind of waiting for the meat. You're like, oh, yeah, this emotional stuff is great, but I want to learn something. And there's nothing wrong with that, because sometimes understanding our portals is the way you're wired is not an accident. It's a good thing. And we tend to, let's be real, a lot of times things, the way things are designed in organizations or even churches, it's based on who's leading, what speaks to them. And what I've found is oftentimes like cerebral types, they almost feel the shape like they don't really love God, because they don't like feel it like that person who's weeping, like on the altar, like I don't think I like feel that. Like I feel something, but I want to learn. I want my intellect to be challenged. Like you're probably a problem solver. I think Apostle Paul was probably like a cerebral type of portal guy. Like his faith, and I mean the man can write run-on sentences like no one, right? Like, but you can tell he thinks through the implications of faith. Like rationally approaching is really important to him. Like he would not probably be very patient because someone is, do you feel Jesus? He's like, of course, but it's because I've learned about Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you saw it before his conversion. Like, he was a big nerd before he met Jesus. The great thing is, God redeemed his nerdness after he met Jesus. It's good to be a nerd. It's good to be a thinker. Yeah, you know, I can tell that you. There's something exciting about learning because, again, sometimes we're trying to fit ourselves, and I'll talk about this more. We need to be flexible and humble, but also learn what does speak to you. So if you're like Paul, more cerebral, the road to your heart, because it is about the heart, it will usually lead through your head. Like you need to be learning. So it just makes sense. Probably take a lot of classes, read books. engage in deep thought with people. Like, don't think of it as like, think of it as a good thing. And I'm going to guess, usually we think about repentance as like a deep, like, emotive kind of thing. What I've experienced, cerebrally oriented people, their repentance is usually fueled out of when they read or learn something really thought provoking. Like, it does cut to the heart. You're like, oh, that makes sense now. It's like God's kindness leading to repentance. I'll pick on him because he's here. Eric, from one of my best friends from our church, is here. I think Eric is kind of wired this way because I can tell because he sends me recommendations for podcasts like every pretty regularly. And I can tell it's great, not just for my information, but I can tell his like heart is being stirred by the information, like the things he's learning. Like, and he's so excited, he wants to share it. Like, because it like making his heart beat, and I always appreciate it. I hope you don't think I don't appreciate it. But again, if that's you, find good podcasts. There's a lot of trash ones out there. Find good ones that feed that intellectual side of you are. So spiritual formation will most likely look like a lot of learning for the cerebral portal. Another portal, the interpersonal portal. And obviously, interpersonal portal, obviously, we're all about relationship. Like, you cannot escape that for the Christian. It is a relationship with God. It's a relationship with others. If you don't want that, something's just, we got some work to do, right? It's definitely about relationship. But I would say for the interpersonal portal type, spiritual growth comes most naturally when it's always connected to relationships. So here's a way to understand it. Those who are, interpersonal portal types, just the fact that I said that it comes naturally through relationships, like, doesn't that for everyone? Isn't that just Christian? Like, no, not for everyone. Like, relationships are always key, but for the interpersonal, I've observed, like, it has to involve connecting with others and processing these things and growth. Like, probably the most significant times of growing, even as a Christian, have been through relationships with other people. Most, and you can tell those people, because the real introverts among us kind of tend to shy away from them, because they're like wanting to be, and it's not just an introvert-extrovert thing, but their life is an open book. Like, small groups are the most valuable time. They're like, Sunday worship is great. I guess God deserves that. We should do it. But man, when we get to be in community, that's really, you can think of it like this. This is what a Christianity is really about. Usually when people say that, they're talking about their portals, right? Because that's what speaks to them most powerfully. So I think why this is important, practices like solitude, silence, they're very important. And I'm going to look at those a little bit later. I think it's important for everyone. I think every one of us should have a prayer closet where you're kind of on your own. But I think sometimes we've given undue guilt to people or kind of classified a certain spiritual class if you don't, like, meet God in His glory anytime, like, you're on your own. Some of us are wired, like, you need to be able to meet God on your own, but man, it really comes on fire when you're connected with other people. Does that make sense? And not to be embarrassed about it, so as a pastor, I'll confess all my stuff, I used to feel like, I don't think I'm the most intellectual person, and I felt for some reason every pastor I would meet is like deep, like heavy. Yes, last week I read books from Augustine and Luther and Calvin, and it was just unbelievable how God stirred the affection of mine. And I'm like, oh man, like, and it almost, but what I realized, I think I very interpersonally relate, wired, but I felt almost like embarrassing, like it was somehow less than, to be able to feel like, yeah, you know what, I meet God so powerfully by myself, but when I'm like talking with someone, it feels like matters of faith come alive. Like, if you, and I used to feel like it doesn't feel as like mature or deep as like the deep personal study. But it's just recognizing we're wired differently, no better or no worse. So for some of you, if you're the impersonal, your task is to press into who you are, because you're going to make community great at your church, deep and rich, and find other people along with you. Another portal, and I want to make clear, these are not an exhaustive list. Like, this is not like the list on, but these are just some. But the helping portal, I would describe this as those of us who serve, And again, let's be real, we're all called to serve. It's not a negotiable, like, yes, some of you are servants, so you can do it. No, every single one of us is called to serve because our Lord is the serving Messiah, right? Philippians 2, humble themselves, serving. That's just part of being a Christian. But I realize there are some people who, like, they naturally, as they serve, they feel closer to Jesus. And I used to think they were a big phony. Because I would see them, like, setting up chairs and stuff voluntarily, always asking for stuff. I'm like, dude, girls aren't even watching. You don't have to pretend. Why are you acting all holy moly and trying to make everyone? Because you can tell, I don't think that's naturally me. Like, it astounded me that for some people, like, a Bible study is great, but you really want to know what gets their heart beating for God, it's finding something to be able to do, to help, and serve, and to be active, and make a difference. Like, that actually doesn't feel like work, but it's an invitation to be closer to God. And don't tell the pastors who those folks are, because they'll get all burnt out, because they'll be asking them to do everything. Kind of slightly kidding here, but it's like those people are wonderful, and if that's you, find ways to serve. Like, go read a book. Go be in community. Do all that. But find ways that will make your heart for Jesus grow by stepping into that portal and serving. I think this is just practically, all of this ties to mission as well. One of the best things I love when we first started the church, the village, long time ago, I don't know if there's any myths out there that becoming a pastor, especially a church planter, is a way to get real wealthy. There used to be someone made their point in our neighborhood to say we were a cult and like I was getting rich off the church. I'm like, dude, why am I driving my old Hyundai if I'm real? We didn't have much money, but one of our partner churches in the region, it was incredible. They said, hey, we know that money's tight. We do this ministry called Car Care, where we do basically oil changes for the widows in the community, like those who can't afford to do this. And I felt a little embarrassed because I'm like, man, if this is for like poor single women and what am I doing there? I should learn that, but I'm not handy, right? So they invited us on. We would get our oil changed, but it was amazing because some of those men, again, Bible study, really important. Prayer meetings, great. Community groups, Bible study, getting together, wonderful. But honestly, a lot of those men, they're like, this is where I feel the most connected to God when I'm doing something practical for others. Like all that other stuff in church, you can have all that. Let me do this as much as I can. Because by serving, I feel like this is who God is. This is who God is in a real way to me. So again, serving is a wonderful thing that we talk a lot about in church, but I don't know if we often think about helping as like a pathway to know God in our formation. It gets something done, but it's also a way to know God. So helping portal, worship portal. This one's pretty obvious in this description, but I think you can tell because it's folks who have this deep love of personal and corporate praise. So again, isn't our music this today been incredible? Like, it's been incredible. But if we can be real, real, some of you are like, man, this is really good. Wow. But man, I wish we can get the other stuff. It's like, it doesn't hit your, like, sweet spot. If we can be real, real, I think it's the reason why some people get late to church. They're like, when's the music going to be done? And I can, there's no room for shame here. We can be honest. We do that, right? Because it doesn't feel like the most priority. But you can tell people who probably are wired for the worship portal because they're like, if I miss that, I basically miss church. Like, my sweet spot is to praise God with all my being. Like, I think David had some of that, right? Like, where he being shamed by his wife, like, yo, you're looking like a fool, dancing around all naked, all the girls looking at you. He's like, I'm going to be even more undignified than this because worship to God was primary. Like, even in writing of the Psalms and his poetry, the sense of worship. And I think it's like, it's not just singing, but even in your most difficult times of life, probably like going to these practices of musical worship or other forms, it's healing. It's healing. I this has been, like, I've been trying to, if, just in case you're thinking, is this just like stuff that's theoretical? All of this is really tied to my own journey. So I remember last fall, I hit a real kind of low point in my journey. And sometimes in my past, my low points were, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not praying. I was doing all that, but I just hit that point where I was stuck. And I felt the Holy Spirit, not don't freak anyone out, right? But I felt the Holy Spirit like pointing me to that old guitar in our house. And I hadn't picked this up for years, so it was probably really out of tune. But I felt God saying, go pick that up. So I got the guitar. I found an old songbook from like 20 years ago, like songs that you guys now, all you cool music people usually be laughing at. And it's like, I can only play those chords anyway, right? So it's too complicated now. But it was amazing because it was songs from before. I hit one strum of the song and just hearing the melody, I just started weeping. Like something broke within me where, and what I realized as I was singing that song, my kids, they thought something was really wrong with me because they came down. They're like, oh, Dad's having a breakdown because he looks like, oh my God, this is a happy tears. But what I realized as I was playing that song, it was like the Spirit was reminding me because those were songs of like over 25 years ago when God first drew me to Him. And it was like it struck a chord, and the word I felt from the Lord was, the same God who met you so powerfully then is the same God with you right now. And what all that reminded me is, I probably got a good amount of worship portal in me that I need to engage in. And it's been a reminder. It's, again, there's so much like internal shame that, because as a pastor, you're not supposed to like the singing part. You're supposed to like just the teaching. I mean, a lot of pastors I know, that's how they think. But man, for me, it's to realize the singing is probably some of the most powerful aspects for me. My control stuff is I want to choose the song, but that's a whole nother matter. But let's play these songs from 20 years ago. No one wants to sing those. But worship is a powerful path. So just encourage you, like your times with God, you should probably be doing like whatever you call quiet time devotions, like read, devotionals, all that. But it's probably helpful to incorporate some aspect of musical worship if that speaks to you. Another portal, justice. The justice portal. I think about, this is kind of like the activist portal. And some of us even get nervous when I say that. And some of you get really excited. That might mean you're kind of a justice portal type of, but like it's, like these are the folks there's a single-minded zeal, like a vision. So I think our culture has kind of co-opted the word justice to just think of certain things. Justice is basically like you see what's wrong and you want to make it right. Like that's what justice is. So you have a passion to build the church. You want to work for justice. You feel like we should be better. Like we should be better at this because we're the people of God. And so you do everything you can to try to bring out the potential in people. Like that's what fuels you. So I think biblically a great example is Nehemiah. To the point where he had a good job. But when he found out about the condition of his hometown, he had to go back. He had to go and repair the walls because it was wrong against God and his beloved people. He was moved to take action on what he thought was wrong. But what I love about it is if you read in Nehemiah, it's not just action, but for the justice portal, it's always spiritual because he prayed. Like his heart for justice actually led him to seek God. And that's where we see that it's a formative path, because in my opinion, this is a whole nother talk. But justice too often, I think in our world right now, it too incorrectly gets separated from Christian devotion. Like almost like justice is the real work. We should stop doing this other stuff that churches do. I don't think that's a wise way to look at it. Justice and devotion to God are always meant to be linked. Like I think about even in our own history, civil rights movement in America. Like whatever people think about it now, at least back in the day, most of the civil rights activists were fueled by their worship of God. It was like devotion to God that led them to put their lives on the line because they saw something that was so evil. Like if we are serious about this God, we need to do something about this. So justice was fueled by devotion. But I guarantee you, they would have been extremely frustrated if people just said, well, let's just stay here and sing songs to God because that's what real worship is. They'd be like, is it really? Is it really? I think we're missing something if we're not taking. So if that's you, I think there's a challenge to you. Again, study. Be in prayer meeting. Go to the groups. But you should probably be involved in something that is putting you in a place where you're doing activist kind of work. You're promoting justice. I think just if you need ideas, we have plenty of churches and church plants in our different cities throughout the convention, whether in Baltimore, PG, wherever we might be, Delaware, there's absolutely room for those who have an idea for justice work to get involved in ministry, because that will probably draw you really close to God. More than just sitting in a conference, oh, I love conference. I love this. But you probably need to get out of the room to get something done. Does that make sense? So the justice portal. Another portal, the mystic portal. Mystic. And this is probably more, and maybe some of you who are familiar with this work, you tend to think about this with formation, kind of the more contemplative. This is the people I make fun of, like the monks and stuff. I love monks, by the way. I got nothing against monks. I just couldn't be one. But like that idea of removing yourself. Like I think for mystics, contemplatives, love uninterrupted time alone. And it's not just a introvert-extrovert thing. It's like time alone with God, just to be silent, to hear his voice is the most precious thing. Like reflection doesn't feel like a chore, but it feels like a gift to be able to sit in the presence of God. Probably there's a large capacity for prayer. And I think this is important, because I've met some people who say, yeah, that's me. I need time alone. But gently encouraging them, I don't think mystic means just like binging Netflix all night by yourself. Like, I need to get away from people. I think that's missing the heart of what we're talking about. It's to have time alone, but it's to be able to enlarge your passion for God in that. So for me, I've had to learn, I think I have some of this in me. One of the most valuable practices for me is setting aside it gets harder as life gets bigger, but trying to set aside a couple of personal retreat times through the year. And it's not just to rest, it does do that, but to go away and to just have time uninterrupted so I can be in God's presence, that fuels me. And just to encourage you, because judging by the room, I love it. It's like a multi-generational room. So we got young bucks, we got old heads. I love it. It's great. For me, I used to really struggle with the idea of going away because I had young kids at the time. And it almost felt irresponsible to my wife. Because, you know, we're sacrificing. You're Christian men, you want to sacrifice. But what I've learned, it made life more difficult for those few days. But the man that I came back as was a much better man. Because I've been with God, and I also had some time to process, I came back better. So now in our family, we see that as a normal, good rhythm. So that husband and dad can be better, and obviously a better follower of God too. So practices like that, find what works for you. I think there's also room, as we think about mystics, some of us think about going, need to go into like a monk monastery and a monk down. That's fine if that works for you. I think we can multitask as well, right? There's like overlap. I found for my mystic part, lifting weights has become like a real sanctuary. God, I love going to the gym, and I know some people really love working out with other people. I wish I were better like that. I like working out by myself, not just because I'm a loner, but it gives me time to actually, when I'm doing these things, focus on what I'm doing, but it helps me focus on God as well, hearing from him. Some of his weakness, maybe I feel really weak sometimes. Lord, help me. I'm not going to get this last rep up. Kind of joking. But does that make sense? Like the mystic contemplative, it can take different forms. It doesn't have to look like on your knees in like an old church building all the time. Whatever gives you uninterrupted time to focus on God. And this last one, creation portal. Creation portal, just it's pretty obvious, but you respond deeply to God through your experience of nature. You might have some of this. Is if it's like a gorgeous day outside and the music leader in church on a Sunday is like, we're here to experience God. And you're like, under your breath,
You know, if we all just took a walk outside together, we'd really experience God.
Like, not to make light of those things, but it's like being in nature, being outside, experiencing creation. Like, sometimes for me, going to the beach, like, it just brings things in perspective. I'm reminded how small I am, how big God is, how amazingly, wonderfully creative He is. If that's you, if that replenishes you, do it. Like, be outside. And again, multitasking. I love one pastor. He told me, like, I love to, like, pray, but I love doing it while I walk in the woods. Like, combining these different aspects, because it almost takes him into a different portal, different realm to do that. I think along with God's nature, I think the creative, the creation, you're often, there's probably some sense of, like, artistic, symbolic, like, there's meaning there. Even in how we make things. So I would put this in there. Like, again, it's not just experiencing God's creation, but it's being reminded that God has given you power to create. I think of cooking like this. Like, that cooking, creating something for many, becomes this spiritual practice. Like, of course, you've got to make dinner. And if it just becomes work. But for some people, like, you've met them. You want to be friends with them, right? Like, creating these things feels like they get closer to God. Just like creating artwork or creating a musical piece. I think there's a creative aspect to that. So the prayer closet, it might take on the form of an easel, a guitar, cookware, or just being outside. So, and again, don't shy away from it if you're wired that way. So what do we do with all this? Again, this is not an exhaustive list, but a few that I think about. But what do we do with all this? One, just very obviously, take action steps that align with your portal. What I mean by that is, do things that are common to Christians. I think like reading the Bible, prayer, all that's pretty. But also find what helps you to experience God through those things. Like, and probably it's not, this is not a test where which portal am I? I'm all anxious now. It's probably a combination of different things. Like, there's no right or wrong here. These are just guideposts for you. But if there's something that you know puts you in a better place to experience God's presence, take the initiative to get engaged in those things. Another thing, and this is something I think is kind of important, some things to guard against. Guard against the critical attitude of judgment against others. Because the reality is we are all wired certain ways, and because we're human, apart from Christ, the world operates around us like we're the North Star. So we tend to think the ways that we experience God is the ways everyone should experience God. So just show grace to other people. Don't automatically label them as unspiritual or like a moron. We don't use words like that, but I mean, in your mind you do. Don't automatically go there, but realize, just like you would want people to give you freedom to experience God, give people freedom and avoid this critical attitude of judgment. On the flip side of that, guard against envy of other portals. Because some of you judge. The flip side of that, I think some of us envy. I know, I think I'm more prone to that. Like, I look at certain people, I'm like, man, I wish I were more like that. And I want to say we can grow in all of these. Like, even if it's not natural for you, you can grow. But guard against envy, because envy, sometimes it's like defiance against God saying, I don't like the way you made me. Embrace how He's made you. Don't have to be like everyone else. Learn from others, but you don't have to envy what someone else is. Give yourself permission to be who you are in God. And here's one I think that's kind of practical. Guard against overdependence on a few portals to escape. What I mean by that is, an improper application of this is you go to your church and you start to see what they're doing and you tell the leaders or the pastors that, yeah, you know what, this doesn't line up with our portal, so I'm checked out. This doesn't speak to me. I don't even know why I'm here. Because I think part of this whole journey is Christ-likeness, which is dying to ourselves. Like, one of the best ways that we grow in Christ is not everything is exactly done the way that would speak to you. And this is for free. It's not, but as a multi-ethnic church, that's one of the biggest lessons of sanctification. You need to learn not everything is going to be done the way you would like.
So I think even when it comes to our portals, be aware of what does help you and don't be embarrassed of it, but don't expect that everything has to be oriented around that in a church community.
Does that make sense? Because you've probably met people like that. Hopefully that's not too much you. If it is you, God gives you forgiveness. They like get mad at the church because it's not doing things that speak to them. And that doesn't mean that there's not lessons for everyone to always be learning, but humility is warranted here to be part of a community. Be humble and teachable. So I don't want to hold us too long before I have to go down, but basically the question to ask yourself, what helps you experience beauty?
What stirs your imagination to experience God in these ways? And my hope for you, and maybe some of you have felt discouraged, like you don't feel like you can experience God. I'm not saying this is like a magic antidote, but I found it can be helpful to learn that God is uniquely wired, that He wants to be known. That's the amazing thing. There's no like secret combination that we're trying to learn all our life and when we get to heaven, we're like, man, I guess I just wasted the last. God wants to be known, and He's given us through His creative beauty ways to know Him through our unique. We do have a couple minutes. Any thoughts or questions before we release from this time?
See, the beginning, you kind of talked about discipline, right? And then you talked about the large state assignment, or going to something like this, right? And you feel about maybe going to a event conference. How do you maintain that discipline? Maybe when you get thrown back into an environment where you didn't have that before. So a lot of times I go back home and then I get thrown back into the same routine.
That's worth a deeper conversation. But I think one of them I think is tied to what I was talking about earlier in the main about the value of friendships. So even if you're not like the most relational person in the world, I think that's where our friendships can speak in to even share with people, hey, I went through this thing on portals. Here's a few ways I've learned I really experienced God. I would love for you to be able to check in with me to be able to just see how that's going. And trying to it doesn't have to be all done by you, but like crowdsource, like find those who know you and say, here are some ways that we can really help you to experience God. But I realize sometimes as men, we just have a problem sharing stuff that's not meant to be like private. But involve others in our journeys together. I think that could be one real general step. But we can definitely talk more. I think so. Again, I got a thing with accountability. Like accountability is good. But like the people you know who are for you, who understand you too. That's really important. Because I mean, you're all nuanced enough. We're not the people who someone say a man said they're struggling. Oh, he's been reading his laundry this week. I think you guys are all doing it. I mean, of course, we got to do that. But they know you, and they know what helps you. Hey, how are you doing with that creative portal? Have you been picking ways to be outside in nature? And then, oh, yeah.
This mystic is interesting. Our lead pastor at Faith Baptist is on a 40-day sabbatical. Hmm. And today, as we speak, spending 1 week in France at a monastery with all day long with the monks.
Wow.
So it's going to be interesting. His coming back and his change.
And I know Pastor Tim, so like I know that speaks to his heart. I would struggle because if I was in France, I'd be like, I don't think I want to be in a monastery. I think I want to be out and eat. So it's like knowing yourself, because I know him. He is a mystic. Like that, I know that speaks deep in his heart. Well, I think one is to own that it's hard and like life is not going to look the same as. But I know even in our church, one thing that is the men who committed to it. I know some of them would even get up way early in the morning before the house was even running to do that and to carve out the time to be with each other in those ways. I think it just takes a commitment to do something and to realize. If we're not careful, stuff like that feels like a punishment from God, the seasons we're in, but see it as natural rhythms of life, but God still wants to be known in all of them. So what are some creative ways we can work on it? Our time, I don't want to be that bad guy, so we need to send people down for main session. But you guys can contact me if there's any questions. Again, this is my work through the convention, so I would love to be able to connect with you in any of these ways. But thank you so much for being here. I hope this was helpful.